let's pray. Lord, we bless your name. How wonderful it is to have you here. Speak to us, Lord. I'm so thankful for what I've heard in these last several weeks preparing for this. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, glory to God. God has lunch with Abraham. It seems kind of odd to think about it, but that's exactly what happens. If we turn to Genesis 18, it's kind of an odd way to look at it, but Abraham is sitting by his tent during the heat of the day. He's sitting at the door of his tent. I don't know how many of you have been in the Middle East or even along the Mediterranean. For instance, in Spain, they close shut down pretty much from noon to about 2 o'clock, and sometimes a little later.
Siesta.
And they have the shops and stores close, in large part, and you're not expected to come in and visit them at that time. You're expected to go out and have lunch and find some place where you can sit that's relatively cool and enjoy that. And through the Middle East, I've been in Morocco and Algeria, and it's like that, very much so. So you're supposed to get, something cool to drink and just enjoy the moment. And that's what we see Abraham doing here. And all of a sudden, he sees three men walking towards him or towards his camp. And it's interesting. He identifies quickly one as Lord. He says he goes up and he bows before him. And I want you to look at this chapter as, I had to step back and say, what is this chapter telling me? And our tendency is to look at passages of Scripture and say, wow, that must have been cool. Abraham, David, Joshua, Moses, and we look at those scenes and we say, that'll never happen. But you need to step back and say, no, God is teaching me something out of here. And this is an example for me. I used to look at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and sweating great drops of blood, passionately praying. And now I look at it to say, yep. Is my prayer life like that? Mm-hmm. When God presents me with a need, do I get before God in such a way that, God, you can take me out if, how willing am I am to just intercede before the Lord to know what his will is in that. So that's why I encourage you to look at this chapter. The Lord walks in and he identifies him. and Abraham calls himself his servant. So he invites them to sit down with him. And he says, I want you to sit down with me. I'm going to prepare some bread, and then I'm going to prepare lunch for you. Now, some commentators kind of make it out that it was very done hastily and quickly, but you don't cook a calf, or at least a portion of a calf, quickly. You've got to butcher it and prepare it and skin it and all that other stuff. So this took some time. And obviously the Lord was willing to wait for him. The Lord was leading this group. And you need to see this as a point of fellowship with Abraham. I mean, God has made abundant promises to Abraham. He has covenanted with him several times and several different types of covenants here. And so what we see here is an intimacy of relationship with Abraham. He's come to set down a spell. He's not in a big hurry. And he comes this fellowship with him. Do you have this? And I challenge you to have this with God. I have a notebook full of requests. that we can bring to God, and you know, our perhaps our public prayer meetings are like that, where we present more. You know, we have a series of requests before us, and we know those things, and that's good. I mean, a lot of the public prayer meetings were like that. We're specific in Scripture. We see them presenting requests, the prayer for Peter and other prayer requests that God might speak through leadership, and you know, those kinds of things. We see that in public prayer. We see public confession as a group in some of the Old Testament prayer meetings. So that may be the public prayer meeting, but in the private prayer meeting, you and God. What we're seeing here, I think, is an example of what we should be doing in our private prayer. And the first thing is to meet with God. Now, what's different here, Abraham prepares a meal for these three men. When God comes, in that time of fellowship, he's prepared a meal for you in his word. The bread of heaven. A feast for you. So you sit down with the word of God. You invite him in. And it's a regular meeting with God. I would encourage that. Maybe it can't be every day, but I would encourage it to be something of every day. And it's going to take some time for you to meet with God. I encourage, there's a number of scriptures that encourage early in the morning. But maybe you have other times that you can do that. If you get into the busyness of the day, it's hard to step back and quiet your heart in the rest of the day. I mean, you know, I pray while I drive, but, you know, I'm more driving while I pray, you know. You can do that. You can try and listen to Scripture. I've done that too. To me, it's not very effective. I get concentrated on, you know, relatively high-speed driving, and I can't do that. Now, Wesley and his men used to read while they rode on horseback, but they went at a very slow pace. They weren't in a big hurry. They got there when they needed to. So they used to read a lot. They would read a lot on horseback, but we're not on horseback. We're, you know, 60 times faster than they were riding. But there needs to be a time in your life of that fellowship with God, not just whipping through a pile of requests, you know, God save this, save that, heal this, bless this, you know, money for this, that kind of thing, but a time of fellowship. Now, it's interesting that we come through, as this story unfolds, this particular chapter, we do come to a place of intercession, or Abraham intercedes for Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah in this thing. So there is that time in that fellowship with God, but you sense this time of just meeting with the Lord. And I think that's something we need to consider here. Just that getting quiet before the Lord. I love that. I often get up before my wife and just sit there with a cup of coffee and just begin to just fellowship with God. And just, you know, and it's not making requests. I just, God, it's good to be here. I woke up again this morning. I know I'm struggling with this or that or the other thing, but it's just good to know you're here. And I feel the smallness of who I am and the lordship of who he is. And that's what Abraham's doing here. He recognizes him as Lord, and he just calls himself his servant, and he bows before him. You know, we as Americans are not used to bowing very much. In fact, you know, it's a big deal, isn't it? And I find the people that don't want to acknowledge, you know, the whatever, they end up bowing. And there's been one, I saw one Christian athlete that says, you know what you're doing. You're actually acknowledging in a greater way your allegiance by bowing, you know, because he understands the biblical sense of what bowing means. But you know, bowing in our heart. And I do that, you know, it's hard for me on my knees, but there are times when I do that. But in my heart, I do it so critically. I just, God, I know who you are. And I think it's so wonderful that you gave me, and I acknowledge theologically what God has done. I just, God, you have saved me. And I go over that in my mind, not as a rote thing, you know, not like praying some kind of prayer, but as a thought in my mind. God, you saved me. You covered all my sins. You have given me eternal life. And it's acknowledging him as Lord. I can't do anything. And I realize it more and more in my own weakness. You know, physically I have, you know, I have more weakness in my, as I age, and I acknowledge it even more. God, I can't do any of the things that I need to do without your strength, without you giving me what strength I need to do the, to accomplish the things that I do need. And that's humbling myself before God. God always responds to humbling. You know, and I used to be this, you know, God, I got about 80% of this, okay? And when I need you, you're the man. I'm going to call on you. You know, I used to do that. And, you know, God's given me tremendous abilities in my field. And I used to just say that. And God, a couple times along my life, has stopped me in my tracks and said, no. You know, and I've learned to use those stopping in the tracks to say, oh, okay, God, I can't do anything with you, without you. And I've had to acknowledge that. And I think, you know, so in that process of fellowship, it's a matter of, you know, part of that is humbling yourself. Part of is identifying who the Lord is, how much larger that he is. And whenever God speaks, he often, and he reveals himself, you see him often reveal his character. He says that, you know, just it's in his name. And there's a lot of names that are revealed through the life of Abraham, the El Shaddai, the El Elyon. Those are, and that's his character. You know, because those men in those days, everyone had, their name meant a character, something about their character. And even God changes Abram to Abraham, father of many nations. So the character is identified. So whenever they said the word Jehovah or El Elyon or El Shaddai, they were identifying the character of God. So I encourage you, as you read this, think about your fellowship with him. And it's fellowship. It's not just talking to God through a whole bunch of stuff. And I do all kinds of things. I'll pray. Sometimes I pray out loud and wake my wife up. But other times I just sit there and enjoy his presence.
Yes.
You know. Thank you, God. And God, you know, my mind goes, when I'm engaged in work, I'm having to think about a lot of different things almost simultaneously. I don't think I think about things in parallel, but I've had to think about a lot of things in this current job. I'm having to develop patterns of understanding of three different positions, three different places that I go to, and actually a fourth one that I advise on. It is tough. I tell you what, they all, oh, we don't do it that way, you know. But why? You know, I mean, and it's hard to keep it all. Now they do this and that. Okay. But when I'm with God, you know, sometimes I just have to say, God, just clear out all that stuff. And I just want to concentrate on you. And I guard myself. Because the tendency is to think of something and then, you know, I pick off and go some other direction. But in this time of fellowship, I ask God, just, God, let me think about you. And then I involve myself in the Word of God. So I understand that God is going to feast with me. He's going to give me this feast in his Word. And that every time I open Scripture, there's going to be something that appeals to me, or not appeals to me, but it leaps out at me and I say, whoa, God, I didn't understand it like that. That is so cool. And I see that all the time, and it ends up intermixing with the burdens that I have of the week or the month or, you know, whatever, the things there, you know, and sometimes some are long-term that don't seem to be resolved, but God is working in them, and others are immediate. And in this particular chapter, some of us have, as a family, are thinking about something, several things very particularly, and all of a sudden God leaps out at me this verse that we'll talk about here real quick. Is anything, it's in verse 14, is anything too difficult for the Lord? And we're, as a family, as some of us in the family, were considering several situations that we're involved in. And all of a sudden that verse, you know, and I explained, I said, I don't know what to do. I don't even know how to pray for this, you know. And I said, let's pray that God will give us direction on just even how to pray. And a promise that we can go before God and say, God, what do you want to do? And so I always want to tie my prayers to promises. Because if God says something, then I can tie it to that situation. It's particularly what we speak of, for instance, there's the Logos, which is the entire Word of God. There's also what's called the Rhema. The Rhema is the specific word for a specific purpose. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Rhema of God. It's not just throwing the Bible at it. It's the Rhema of God. And what the Rhema is, it's like a rapier or a dagger. So it's a particular word for a particular situation. And that's, so you get involved in a situation that requires faith, then you want a Rhema. That's what you want to have, as a Rhema for that particular situation. And I've been in those. You know, the time I stood watching my house go underwater and God gave me, stand and see my salvation. That's what God said. You know, and I knew He said it. It was my Rhema. I stood on that for, you know, I had to stand on that from 2008 to 2013. And actually saw its fulfillment in 2014. But it was a word, got tattooed it on my heart, and it's never left me, you know. And I said, God, you told me to stand and see your, you know, now when I see something impossible, often, God, you told me to see your salvation then, I'm going to stand and watch it now. So that's what should happen in that time of fellowship. God speaking to you particularly, God speaking to you just giving you wisdom. In verse, I haven't got there yet. Well, it's the next slide. But so, you know, but God has prepared that, and it's in meeting with God, fellowshipping with Him, that you see these kinds of things happen. You know, Psalm 23:5, you prepare a table before me. I didn't complete the verse, but you prepare a table before me, and it ends up in the presence of mine enemies. And God will do that. You know, Psalm 130, I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in His word do I hope. And then Isaiah 40, those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. And, you know, I look at that and I say, well, God, I'm not doing so good here on the running part. I used to be able to run, but I can't now. But what is it? It's strength for what He needs you to do. God will strengthen you for what He needs you to do. He will give you wisdom. He will give you the Word. He will give you His Spirit in anointing to accomplish your task. I don't know how many times I have walked into a situation knowing and trying, you know, now I'm very aware that He has put me in every moment of the day. And then thinking, you know, walking into the situation, even with my wife, you know, there's, you know, familiarity sometimes. And I, you know, I've noticed, and I've had to be very, very careful and say, God, this is an important situation. My wife is trying to communicate something, or I'm trying to communicate something to her. How do I approach this situation? You know? And so, you know, sometimes my tendency is to be short or curt or, you know, why didn't you do that? You know, kind of thing. And I've drawn back. I've said, no, God, you have me in this situation. I need to hear something. She needs to hear something. And let's quiet our hearts and walk through this situation. And often it's difficult things, you know, that we have to face all over the place. And people that we're aware of in the fellowship and those kinds of, and then people that I work with, and then relatives that we have, you know, and we have many on both sides of our family, much more on her side than mine. But, you know, even in that situation, acting as Jesus would act, and he never was one to, you know, a bruised reed he will not snuff out, a burning flax, or, you know, it's a bruised reed he will not break and quench, and a smoking flax he will not quench.
Yeah.
And so being aware of God, even in that situation, you know, and acting on that and recognize that, and recognizing that God's given me what I need to walk through that situation. What's interesting is in this particular situation is that God tells Abraham, the Lord tells Abraham of things to come. Yes, he tells him the future. He says, next year I'm coming by and you're going to have a child, a son. You know, and he says it so very assuredly. And notice Abraham doesn't say anything here. Sarah does. She's in the back tent. She's behind the Lord in her tent. And she's talking, ah, really? Oh, come on. You know, I'm old. I'm past this. And she's laughing, actually. And the Lord confronts her. What are you laughing about? Oh, I didn't laugh. So she lies to him, you know? It's interesting. And then, you know, the Lord says that very interesting, you know, verse, is there anything too difficult for the Lord? No. There's absolutely nothing too difficult for him. Nothing. And this is the same statement that's made to Mary by the angel. Nothing is impossible with God. You know, and she's, how's this to be that I am to bear a child not knowing a man? It's too difficult for God. And I like to reflect on that and say, you know, you're right, God. I mean, this situation, and it seems like I have more impossibilities than I've ever had before. But I remind myself, no, God, this is not impossible for you. You know, so God tells him, you know, of things to come. First of all, Sarah's going to give birth. This is immediate future. And he also tells us about he ends up speaking to him about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, some people may take that verse and, oh, God's going to tell me when he's going to come back. And I'm going to spend years studying about all this stuff. You don't need to worry about that. But God will speak to you of things to come. And says in John 16:13, and he will disclose, and this is Jesus' highest speaking talk on the Holy Spirit. If you want to, I would encourage you to spend some time in John 14-16. It's Jesus' final words, and he's speaking for the most part on the work of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things the Holy Spirit will tell us is things to come. Now, you know, well, what does that mean? You know, God's going to tell me, you know, will God tell me that, you know, I'm going to get a new job, or, you know, those kinds of things? Well, he will guide you. He will tell you of things that you need to be aware of. And I often find God, and it's wisdom that he's giving us. It may not be the exact set of events that are going to happen, but I often find God saying, leading me and saying, let's be careful of this situation here. Develops, you know, get some wisdom here before you run in like a bull in a china shop and just start, well, God said, you know, this is what's going to happen. But I find God giving me, I'm walking into a situation and God speaking to me as to how I should function in that situation. I find that often in work. I can be, I don't know how this is possible, but I can be intimidating just by my years in grade. And I find myself being very careful not to use that against people. And that's wisdom that God has given me in how to function. And, you know, exercising gentleness and meekness and humility to say, you know, you guys do this process a certain way. I want to understand it so I can fit in, and maybe we can alter it so it becomes simplified or clearer. But I'm not going to tell you that, you know, this is a stupid way to do stuff. You know, no, I don't do that. And God speaks to me as to how I act in different situations. I communicate to a lot of different people. So there's a lot of different ways to communicate. But acting as Christ wants me to communicate is something I need wisdom from the Holy Spirit about. And that's what he's going to disclose to you. Sometimes he's going to tell you something very distinct. And I've been there. It's not often, but God will tell me very distinctly, do not walk into this situation, or I want you to do this situation specifically. And I'm real careful with that. You know, sometimes it's out of the purview necessarily of the Word of God, but I've had to listen to God very carefully on it. And God will do that. There are going to be times when God will do that. I had a nephew or niece and her husband. They had parked their car along the side of a road because it had broken down. And they were just sitting in the car, and they'd called, and help was on its way. And all of a sudden, she felt very distinctly, we need to get out of the car and walk up to the hill. There's, you know, like a embankment. We've got to do that. She walked upside the hill with her, I think his fiance at the time, walked up the hill, sat down, and a car comes in and demolishes that car totally. I mean, hits it so hard, and it flips, and, you know, and those people were hurt and everything. But, you know, that's God, you know? I know. Wow. Is God going to spare? I don't know, but that's God. And that can happen at times. So, you know, don't say that won't happen. But, you know, I also know people that I saw a suitcase today. I mean, God wants me to move. You know, there are people that do that. They have no connection with God at all. But all they're listening to all 1,000 different voices. And I tell you what, there's 1,000 different voices out there. But understanding God's voice is very important. So he will disclose to you things to come in godly wisdom, sometimes godly direction. So there's fingers. Come on, fingers. And then what we see here is, Sarah struggles with unbelief in this situation. Okay? Shall I indeed bear a child when I am old? So what's required here in this situation? Now, Abraham doesn't say anything because God has promised him. And sometimes we need to lead our wives in faith. And I think that's what this is saying here. She is struggling with unbelief. And sometimes we need to lead our wives. Sometimes we need to say, you know, God is with us. God's carried us all this way. Let's and walk. And that's what this is saying. I'm not saying this. This is what's right in here. Sometimes we need to be steadfast and immovable. No, hon, we're going to move this direction. This is... You know, God is going to take care of us. He's always taking care of us. You know, I find it amazing, you know, what God has dealt with us in this church since COVID started. You know, it has been absolutely incredible. And I talk to other pastors and other people in other churches, and they are floundering. But, you know, what we've done, we've acted in faith. I mean, we did the Zoom thing for 6-8 weeks, didn't we? Something like that. But then we just said, let's try. Let's act in faith towards God. And, you know, some of us did get COVID. But we went forward. You know, I know there was a, I saw that thing, that Canadian pastor of the big church, and he said nobody had gotten COVID, you know, in the umpteen months, you know, the 12 or whatever months, nobody had gotten anything. But, of course, that church was out in the middle of nowhere. Did you see the building?
Yep.
Yeah, it's just way out in the middle of nowhere in Alberta, Canada. You know, I'm going to get it anyways. But by acting in faith, we have walked before God, and God, you know, and I love it. You know, our wives and our children have fallen for the most part, walked with us, and that is acting in faith. It's not something weird and mystical, and we put our hands on a ball, and you know, it's imparted faith. No. It's just walking before God because you know God, and that's what good leaders are supposed to do, and that's what you, as a father and a husband, are supposed to do. You're supposed to have it, that kind of faith in God, knowing that God's going to take care of us. And so Abraham, you know, Sarah has to be led in this. And something else has to happen too. But, and this, you know, I mean, because, you know, she looks and at, nah, you know, I don't know. You know? But isn't that leadership? You know, I mean, you had to lead in that, you know, because that just wasn't happening at this point. And for God to walk in it. So, you know, and then the Lord says, is there anything too difficult? The word is interesting there. It's also called wonderful.
Love it.
It's, you know, I like that. One of the names of God that Isaiah get, you know, in Isaiah is wonderful. And sometimes we take the comma away and we say wonderful counselor, but either way, it doesn't matter. He's a wonderful counselor, but he's just wonderful. And it's just it's this word that says, wow, I couldn't imagine this. You know, I look at, one of the things on the Weather Channel app that I get is they focus it towards, and also I think Instagram, they focus, they'll help you focus, or they'll let you focus toward a particular subject. So I like the astronomy stuff and that kind of thing. And they had this thing on the Weather Channel about the sun. And they tend to be a lot about other stuff. But, you know, the writer of that thing shows this picture of the sun, this close-up picture of the sun, and it says, it's not powered by petroleum fuel. It's powered by fusion. The energy that comes is fusion. We've tried to do fusion. Thus far, we haven't been able to, and perhaps we will. The only fusion we've actually done is in the hydrogen bomb. And you realize the energy, that's pretty destructive, you know. But the sun has been, for however long it was created, been shining. And it shines the same consistently. And it's powered by fusion. As a scientist, I just love that. You know, and even the writer of this little blurb, you know, was amazed at that. It has nothing to do with fossil fuels. And it you know, technically, it will eventually burn out. But, I mean, the projected burnout is millions of years from now. But I thought, wow, God, that's wonderful. And that's a description of wonderful. And it doesn't change the heat. The sunlight is the same. It's uniform across its gravitational pull is perfect. The orbit is perfect. All that stuff is perfect. That's a good description of wonderful for the Lord. So then finally, oh boy, I'll have to finish up. But that's all right. We could just do this as a kicker, and intercession is exampled here. So the men get up to leave, and Abraham's curious. Why did they visit me? And then they're moving on. And so that's where, you know, the Lord says to him, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do?" And so then he. And he says, I've, and this is interesting, he interjects, the word interjects this. In verse 17, he says, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Now, that's a distinct promise for Abraham. But God has distinct promises for you as men. For I have chosen him. Now, we're chosen so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice. So he's speaking not only to Abraham, but he's also speaking to what he should do with his children. You know? So to walk in righteousness and justice before the children and to speak to them about walking uprightly before the Lord. So that the, and this is interesting, it's a, this is one of those promises with a requirement. So that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him in blessing. He's, you know, God wants to bless each of us as husbands and fathers. He does. But this is an example, and we're going to actually read about it this morning in the morning reading. In Psalm 51, a man or a woman that is clear before the Lord, where the sin is no longer a consequence or a ruling force in that person's life, is the person that can see salvation come forth through the ministry of the Holy Spirit through them. We'll see that very clearly in Psalm 51. And I love that thought. So here he's speaking to him. You know, he says, I'm going to reveal this to you because we have a relationship. And I expect you, Abraham, to walk in this, what I've, you know, covenanted together with you. So we have a covenant with God. You know, it's not sacrificial in terms of bulls and goats. That's already been taken care of. But the call to walk before the Lord is definitely there in our hearts. Okay, we'll talk about more next week, and we'll probably get into chapter 19. Lord, we bless your name. How gracious and how wonderful you are. You are merciful. Take this word and speak it to our hearts, Lord, and help us to respond to what we hear. In Jesus' name. Amen.